go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I'm going to speak with you about being a releaser of His glory. A releaser of His glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you want to release His glory? Let me just tell you, I get exasperated with those that want to lay on the floor and soak in the presence of God but never do anything with it. If you're taking it in, it's so you can release it out. My spiritual father, Warwick Shenton, said to me, if you want to keep it, you got to use it. If you don't want to lose it, use it. In other words, you got to let it flow through you to get into other people. You're not receiving His glory, so you can talk about, I spent 45 minutes on the floor, and God showed me this, and I saw elephants coming, and I bumped into 9 angels, and I did all that. Listen, there has to be a purpose to supernatural experiences so you can release it to someone else. It's the reason we're not seeing it yet, Janu. I've been asking, why are we not seeing it yet? Because people want to receive it, but they don't want to steward it. They don't want to release it to somebody else. Everything that God does, He wants to bless you to be a blessing. Are you hearing me? He wants to bless you to be a blessing. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, I began here a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to pick it back up. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You need to realize that we've got to change our mindset. The scripture says that when Jesus was raised from the dead, the veil to the Holy of Holies was rent. I do not believe that we have to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise and slowly work into the Holy of Holies. I woke up in there this morning. I flew in on a plane last night in the Holy of Holies. I ran into a guy. Can you believe I'm fixing to spend a week in Hazelhurst, Mississippi, and the guy sitting beside me, and we were upgraded. The guy sitting beside me was from Hazelhurst, Mississippi, and he was a deer hunter. And he was a good old redneck boy, and I intrigued him. Never told him I was a preacher. He asked me, he said, what do you do? You travel so much. I said, I'm a Christ-centered motivational speaker. And it just flew right by him. And he started getting his deer pictures out, and my phone's filled with them too. And I started showing him my racks, and he was showing him his rack. And he told me, and I said, I'm fixing to be. And I mentioned a couple of them. He said, yeah, I know them. He said, I'm going to be in Vicksburg, but I might get. And I said, well, I'll tell you what to do. If you know them, you call them and ask them why I'm in Hazelhurst. I'm going to let them tell you why I'm there. I just wet his appetite a little bit. I just deposited something into him that will cause him to be intrigued a little bit. I'm just telling you, I will be surprised if he doesn't show up under that tent down there, because he said he knew some of the people that I knew in Hazelhurst, Mississippi. Are you hearing me? We got to get out of this old covenant mindset. So we're trying to be new covenant people. Can I say it the way God told me today? We're trying to be completed covenant people with an old covenant mindset. We're trying to work in to something. Listen, the way the new covenant should work, you woke up this morning in the Holy of Holies, and you're supposed to carry what you got out to those that ain't got there yet. You're supposed to take it out to them. You're supposed to carry something to them and release it to them and lay hands on them. Are you hearing me? And so it's important to understand that the old covenant mindset is about, let me just receive. It's all about me. You're touching me. You're blessing me. You're giving me a ministry. You're doing that. Listen, the new covenant or completed covenant mindset is everything He gives me, I've got to give away. Everything. Now, that doesn't mean you go home and give your car away and your house. But I'm talking about every touch that He puts in your body is so you can release it to someone else that need to be touched. But Brother Clay, I'm just here so I can get your pulpit. I've reached the pinnacle when you finally let me preach behind this pulpit. Listen. No, you've reached the place of obedience when you start preaching where you're at. St. Francis of Assisi said this, preach the gospel wherever you go, and when you have to, use words. You are an epistle for people to read, but what are they reading? I have a friend many, many years ago in the 80s, had a church in West Memphis, Arkansas, and he played in a fundraising golf tournament one day. And they drew to be on a team. And he ended up with a man on the team. I'm going to tell you who his name's been long enough. The pastor's name was Mike Anderson. And he ended up on a team, and he got to talking to one of the men on the team. And the man said, oh, I know who you are. And he said, you do? He said, yeah, I play golf every week with one of your elders. He said, really? I've never heard your name mentioned. He said, doesn't surprise me. He said, I've been playing golf with him every week for years. And he's never once invited me to your church. And my friend, you know what my friend did? He met with the eldership and he said, in 1 month we're closing. They were running 100 people. He said, if all we're going to do is be a social club to where only the people we want to come here and we're not reaching out to nobody, and they closed it down. I bought his equipment and they sold it to another church. They turned the building into something different. I don't want to give too much information. We drove by the building the other day. Susan and I drove by it there. I'm telling you, it's time to carry what you're getting on Sunday and carry it out during Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and release it to someone. It's too much of going to church on Sunday and living like hell on Monday. And if you don't believe you're receiving, not to build a ministry. I don't have a ministry. I have the Lord. I'm not trying to build a ministry. I know how not to minister. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm all the time caring for someone. I had a young woman in the services down there came, just popped in, not a part of it. Popped in down there, and God just poured out on her. You could see how hurt she was and how she'd been through some rough things. But God did something. See, it's time to realize that it says, therefore, having boldness. Where's your boldness at? You got to have boldness to go. I believe you got to have boldness to enter in to the understanding that we live in the Holy of Holies. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom. Now, I've touched this a little bit last time. I'm just saying, this a different veil, but the veil between heaven and earth is getting thinner. It is. More angelic activity, more interaction with the cloud of witnesses. It's getting thinner. But let me just share with you, you're going to have to live like you're in the Holy of Holies for it to become thinner. Number two, in the next scripture here, verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The next thing is, it's time to draw near. It's not time to draw near the prophetic. It's not time to draw near the apostolic. It's not time to draw near deliverance. It's not time to draw near intercession. It's not time to draw near any of these things. It's time to draw near Him. We are moving into a time that we no longer are going to move at the speed of sound. We're going to begin to move at the speed of light. Let me explain. Jesus said, I do the things I see the Father do. I'm telling you, there is a place with God. And when you draw near to Him, that He will rub off on you. And you will become like Him. And you're not going to have to go into your prayer closet. I'm not giving you a license not to go into your prayer. But you're not going to have to go in and ask Him, what should I do in this case? You're going to have the mind of Christ at the moment that you need it to make the kingdom decision that you need so that you can accomplish the will of God, and heaven will impact earth at that moment. Can you hear me? I'm telling you, you can live in this place. I haven't said this a long time in this congregation, but you need to hear this. Everybody put your seatbelts on. All right? You need to think of things God would think of should He think of them. And if you got a little bit of religion, you went tilt, tilt, tilt. What I'm telling you is, He said, let this mind be in you which was all also in Christ Jesus. It's a way that you can come to learn to where you can move and live and have your being in Him, and you're going to know what to do at the time. You're not going to have to fast and pray. Fasting and praying is about drawing near to Him. Fasting and praying doesn't move the hand of God. It moves you in to Him. It gets those things that are in you that need to be crucified, dealt with. Watchman Nee said, the problem with the living sacrifice is they keep crawling off the altar. If I had been Isaac, when my daddy strapped me down on that altar with wood around and started getting his knife out on a whip rock and sharpening a little bit, I had to begin to question just a little. Dad, what's going on? Dad, I don't see a sacrifice here. Are you sure about this, Dad? Let us come reason together, Dad. I would have had some concern about what was coming. I would have wanted to got off of that altar as well. And it's the same way with a God who is a consuming fire. He's wanting to consume us totally, but not near His stuff. Moses, in the book of Psalms, says, knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel, the ways of God are His character. I can come home from a trip, and I can tell by Susan's body language if something might be up or something out of a shift or whatever is going on. We have walked together many years now. And when you walk with someone and you become one with someone, you can tell what they're thinking before they're thinking it or before they say it. You can tell what's on their mind, what's on their heart. You're going to anticipate their next move. Can you say amen? If I'd have been ready this morning, there's a video that we have of a woman riding a horse bareback. I know, Pamela, you've probably seen it up in Kentucky. She rides this horse, no halter, no bridle, completely bareback. It is incredible. And everybody looks at it, and they talk about the talent of the horse or the talent of the rider. Let me just tell you something. That woman and that horse was one before the horse ever learned the routine. It has nothing to do. I had one horse in my life that was that way. Had a full Appaloosa, and I'm telling you, I swam the White River on him. I swam every lake I could. He swam high enough out of the water. I get my knees in the saddle, never got wet. But you have to be one, and that's what God wants you to be, one with Him. You're going to know what to do before you do it. You're going to pick up your foot, and before your foot goes down, you're going to know, my steps are appointed of the Lord. Are you hearing me? There's a fire that God has set in me recently. And it's a fire to draw near. I don't want, listen, His acts or His stuff. I'm expecting tonight in Hackleburg, Alabama, creative miracles. I'm expecting tonight the manifestation of His glory. But I want to tell you, my heart's set on releasing it. And let me tell you what releasing, didn't just mean I do all the releasing. Are you hearing me? It's time to draw near. Let's get rid of His, let's get out of this stuff. His stuff, if we press into Him, we get His stuff. If you press into His stuff, you can miss Him. We got too many today that know the word of the Lord. They can argue with you. They can make a point of this. They know Scripture. They can debate Scripture. They can do this, but they don't know the Lord of the word. They wanna twist and shape and mold and maneuver Him into their court, and they can take the same script, the same word of the Lord that they know, and make it say what they want it to say. Are you hearing me? Some of you know I've been encountering the cloud of witnesses on a consistent basis. Did in Florida last Sunday night. My spiritual father, Warwick Shenton, who's with the Lord, came into the service in Dyersburg and did something that I needed to see. I don't understand that. And someone told me, because I had some of the cloud of witnesses speak to me, and they said, now you're talking to the dead. I said, no. And they said, well, if you're talking to people who've gone on, you're talking. I said, I don't believe that Christians die. I believe they go into another existence of life. Why do we call them dead when they're not dead? All they did was they died to this existence so they could enter into a greater existence. And we've taken scriptures and made them say things that they're not saying. When I begin to have my thought of the cloud of witnesses was Abraham and Isaac and Elijah and Moses and these people like that. It didn't have anything to do with modern day people. I've got news for you. We need the synergy, the agreement of the cloud of witnesses. This thing is not in good shape. This nation hangs in the balance. I'm not in any way endorsing a candidate, but I'm just telling you, we do not want the liberals to continue to be in control. We do not need liberal judges put on there. We do not need the more babies aborted. We don't need the things that are going on. They are an adversity to kingdom life. God wants our life to become so kingdom that we can move into a place of the release of the Lord in a magnificent way. Are you hearing me? Number three, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. Once you draw near to him, you need to hold fast to him. What does that look like? What does it look like to hold fast to him? Believe his promises. What has he said to you? Now, I've said this recently in the pulpit. I'm going to say it again. I am fully convinced what I'm about to tell you is the word of the Lord. About 80% of the prophecies that many people have gotten need to be thrown out of the window. In fact, can I give you an admonishment? That's a good biblical word. If you're carrying a word that's not come to pass, go before the Lord and say, Lord, I give you back this word, and if this is your word, will you give it back to me? I've had to do that with words, and some he's given back, and some of them just dissipated. And it freed me to get his true word. If you've got a word that didn't come from him, in fact, let me just share with you why I'm saying 80%. Some words that you have been given are truth, but the motive behind a prophet prophesying to you you were going to prosper was to try to get you to give a bigger offering, and it had divination in it, and that divination is keeping that word from coming to pass. I'm speaking to you, church. Please be obedient in your giving. But I don't need your money. Do you understand me? I want you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospered. I'll be glad when I have some billionaires that support me. But I'm never going to get to where I've got to have their money. Because let me tell you what, support comes and support goes. And when you put all your eggs in one basket and you begin to trust up on one thing, I'm telling you, God will shake it up and move it and change it so that you will come back to trusting him. The greatest place you can live in the kingdom is a place of need. But to live in a place of need, you got to have your eyes on abundance. He will do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you can think or ask. I want to tell you something. If you don't see his ability and you don't keep your eyes on his ability to favor you, to give you, the favor that we're seeing right now is just amazing. Even on insurance, on this RV, you know, we started looking and with that, and then, I just will not settle until I've looked. I've knocked on every door, and the door that we end up knocking on was $1,300 a year less money. I don't know about you. I'm not wealthy. That's over $100 a month we saved on insurance. Are you hearing me? Why? Because I did diligence. I did not take that first one. I came close, but I knew I got this feeling down in my spirit, and I said, we're going to check. Hold fast, hold fast, hold fast. What? The confession of our hope. It says in the book of Revelation, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word in your testimony, not of. If you'll go into the original text, it's different. What's the words in your testimony? I've got favor, and they bumped me up yesterday. They bumped me. I was up real close to the pilot. I don't have to fly there. Do you understand me? But it's nice when you're up there. And I believe it was a divine connection because I'm sitting by someone that I got to speak into their life. Come on, listen to me. What does it look like when you hold fast to the hope? What has he said about you? Let me hear. I'm hearing this in my spirit. You'll never be prepared for your season of breakthrough that's coming if you despise the season you're in. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how lack it is. I don't care how ugly it is. I don't care what's going on. It's shaping and forming you for the season of breakthrough that's coming. I had a man of God tell me in 92, I think it was. It was 92. He told me, he said, the greatest test that you will ever face in your life is the test of success. I have watched minister after minister after minister come into a time of success, and it pulls them off to where they no longer trust God. Any of you ever had your favorite preacher of the moment? He comes on Christian TV. You can't wait to get home to hear he or she preach. I mean, everything's coming out of their mouth, producing life in you, and 5 months down the road, you can't hardly listen to them. Anybody beside me ever experienced that? Let me tell you what happened. They lose their sound because the sound that they had when they got on TV was a sound that they worked out by holding fast and drawing near, and they get to where the success of all the people following them and buying their tapes and CDs and speaking well of them, it causes them to quit spending time with him, and they lose what they're carrying, and then they begin to move on their own abilities. That's where the church in America is at, and that's what God's dealing with right now. To put that under feet, we need some men and women that will stay in him. This is not boastful of what I'm saying. I've been asked to be on Trinity. I'm talking about not here in Memphis 5 times in my life, going all the way back to the early 90s. And every time, somehow, I'm not this smart a guy, but I sought God. I said, do you want me to fly out to California? Do you want me to get on there and prophesy? And the Lord said, no. And the second time, no. And the third time, no. And after the third time, he told me no because I had ego. I wanted to be on there. I knew what it could do in my ministry. I said, Lord, okay, I know you're saying no, but tell me why you're saying no. And he said, because it will give you a platform you're not prepared for yet. Your gifting will take you to places that you don't yet have character and integrity to sustain. I don't want man's promotion. I hope you don't want man's promotion. I want the promotion of the Lord. I don't have to jockey. I said something that, you know, we're getting a lot of words right now. We're getting a lot of words that's saying God's going to give me a national platform. Can I tell you? I don't want it. I absolutely do not want it. But I absolutely want to be obedient to God. And so there's a tension in my life. But soon and I were driving down the road, I think into Arkansas recently, and I looked over and I said, it'd be just like God to give a man something he doesn't want because he can trust him with it. I mean, doesn't that sound like things God would do? I mean, let's think about God. He tells Abram, he said, I want you to get up and just start walking. Leave your father's house, leave everything you got, and eventually I'll tell you when you get near where I want you to be. What? Lord, can you kind of narrow it down? Do I go east, north, west, south? I mean, you know, Lord, I get a helium balloon. He didn't have helium then, but, you know, what do I do, Lord? He said, just get up and start. Listen, what he's saying is, I will direct your footsteps. And if you study the life of Abram, you see he got to where he was supposed to be. But let me just tell you, as Dutch is taught in this house, that was the first time that Abram was ever called a Hebrew. Listen, when you move from trusting your family, your job, this word this morning can cost you your job in a good way. It'd be a promotion. When you quit trusting your church, That doesn't mean don't trust it, but too many people have more trust in their Sunday morning experience than they do in God Himself. We're not trying to raise up a people that I hope you don't have to live like hell all week just so you can get back here and get another infusion of kingdom on Sunday so that you can unbackslide and make it to Wednesday and then backslide again. I know I'm not preaching to anybody that's in this room, but there's somebody watching on the web need to hear that. Are you hearing me? We've got to move into a different place. You know, I keep going back. Bob Dylan said this, we need to take on a new way of thinking, a new set of rules, put our best foot forward, and quit listening to fools. Can I tell you the biggest fool that ever spoke into my life was me. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but it leads to destruction. And I'm telling you, sometimes my counsel, if the Apostle Paul, who was given the honor and the trust to write 2/3 of the New Testament, said in the book of Romans, I think it's chapter 7, that I desire to do, I do not, and that I desire not to do, I do, then you and I might have a problem with our flesh. Let me finish this up. Number 4. Verse 24, I love this. And let us consider one another. There's too much considering going on in the body of Christ. I believe they don't receive me. You know, I was in a meeting to where a woman that was black stood up in a meeting and accused Dutch Sheets of being a racist because that morning he shook her hand and didn't hug her. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Over the 10 years since that happened, 8 years since that happened, it's become very